more about naked men and women in a few minutes. Let's get to know Angus a bit.
Hello, you are listening to Talking About Everything with Harry Hawk. Today we're talking about naked rowers. We're talking with Angus Malcolm. This is episode number 3.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hello, can you hear
me? No need for photo, for video. We're just going to just gonna record the audio. And
okay.
I'm going to give a quick introduction, and then we'll start the interview after that. But if I say anything wrong in the introduction, just correct me before we get into the interview.
Apologies if you've already told me this, but is this being recorded for use as an audio, as a piece of audio that will be broadcast in any kind of way, or is it just for your notes?
It's audio for podcast like content. So audio.
Okay. Okay. But fair enough. That's just so that I know how polished I need to be or try to be.
Okay. Yeah. Well, again, I appreciate you being here and all that. I'm going to give this quick little intro, and then we'll pause and get into it, hopefully. Hello, this is Harry Hawk in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey. Today, I'd like to welcome Angus Malcolm. He's the photographer and producer of the award-winning Naked Rowing Calendar, which is produced by the Warwick Rowers. More about naked men and women in a few minutes. Let's get to know Angus a bit. Yes, in 2014, a calendar filled with naked college-age men won the cause-related Calendar of the Year, the People's Choice Calendar of the Year Award. And all of that is based on votes from industry professionals. Angus, you have a rich and diverse career working with professional communications for a variety of media, including a long history of working with nonprofits and fundraising since 95, but you've also been a BBC producer, and you've worked on governance issues for the healthcare industry as well. So that's an amazing background. Did I get all that right?
You got that very right, almost scarily so, Harry. I almost wonder if you're working for the NSA, but no, that's absolutely right, and it's a very odd mix of skills, and I think it's a particular mix of skills that's enabled this project to work, really, in many ways. My background in charity, my background in cause-related, I suppose, lobbying and PR, and then on the more creative side, my work in television. So I think...
That's great. I have a bunch of questions here for you. I think we'll get into a bunch of that. Angus, there are many groups out there looking to raise funds. Can you give them your general advice for what they can do in today's online and high-tech digital world?
Well, I think the first thing is to give people something that they want. I remember very early on the boys, when we first talked about doing this calendar, when we first did the first calendar we did, the boys just sold it on campus. And I said, well, you're not going to really make very much money that way. And they said, well, who else would want to buy it? And I said, well, I can think of a few people. And I posted a few pictures in a couple of forums on the internet that were visited primarily by gay men. And there were 36,000 downloads of images in 24 hours. And we knew we had a market.
Well, that's fantastic. Looking back at your history with nonprofits, has calendars always been part of your toolkit?
Absolutely not. Most of my work has been, I suppose, quite sort of serious-minded stuff, like preparing briefings for parliamentarians in European countries on HIV-related legislation, that kind of thing. So calendars with naked men is a relatively new thing for me.
Well, that's fantastic that it's worked so well. And it's obviously, you can tell there's a lot of fun and passion about it. To dive into the heart of this, you're helping and rather becoming famous for helping this male rowing crew at the University of Warwick drop their kit, get naked, raise money to keep their boats afloat originally.
That's right.
How did this come about? Did you find them or did they find you?
We found each other. I had really quite recently taken up photography. I didn't start photography until 2008. My background was more in communications and most recently I'd been working as a TV writer, in fact. Photography was a hobby. One of the guys came to me through a networking site. He was looking for shots for his portfolio, and I knew that he was part of this rowing team, and I asked if they'd ever thought of doing a fundraising calendar, and he said, well, we did talk about it once. And I said, well, if you want to do it, I'm up for doing it with you, and that was the start of it.
Was there anybody who didn't want to get naked? I mean, you know, I suppose it's not everybody's cup of tea.
Some people are shyer than others, for sure, and it's not compulsory. The people who want to do the calendar can be in the calendar, and the people who don't have to be. So that's always been the case and always will be.
That's hopefully what – let me say that again. I was expecting an answer something like that, but that's great. And I assume you, however, get almost most of the rowers participating.
A lot of them. There are probably over 100 members in the club, certainly at the start of the academic year. That generally has declined by 50% by the end of the academic year. But so there would probably, because it's mixed 50-50 more or less between men and women, so you'd have about 50 guys, I suppose, starting out. And I think that for the 2015 calendar that I've just shot, I think I had about 16 guys involved. So, a sizable number take part.
Sure. And they've all got busy schedules as well, studying. And
they really do. Rowing is very demanding on top of a degree.
So you mentioned earlier that, you know, this started around 2008, getting into 2009, where you came out with the calendar. Can you talk briefly about how long the planning process was, and about at the university level, was there any sort of way to interact with the school itself? Did you need permission, or how independent is the club?
The club is pretty independent. The tradition of the naked student calendar, it's not an old tradition in the UK, but it's been around for a while. And so certainly there was no question that anybody needed like the school's permission to do a naked calendar, because so many sports clubs do them, but they generally do them on a much more amateurish sort of basis. And indeed, the first calendar that we did was not, it looked nothing like the calendar that you see today. I think they sold something like 300 on campus, and that was it. So the school has never really been involved. However, when we launched Sport Allies, the charitable initiative that has come out of the calendar, the registrar of the university came and spoke at the launch and spoke about how positively the university feels towards the project.
That's great. Your goals of inclusion and so forth, the work that you're doing to encourage young athletes or athletes of all ages to be more inclusive, I think is one of the things that really draws me to the project. I did want to ask, there are today both naked men and women's calendars. Are you working with both of those teams?
I don't actually. I work with the men's project, which has been going for 6 years. We're about to bring out, it's our sixth calendar that we'll be launching in the autumn. The women's calendar, I think that they are just finishing their third. So it's a separate thing that the girls do themselves. I have no connection to it whatsoever, actually.
Well, that's fantastic that they've followed the men, I suppose. But obviously your work has, as I mentioned at the beginning, been awarded, and obviously the work of the team and all the gentlemen in the way that you've gotten, you mentioned professionalism, that you've got a large accounting firm helping to create this charity and all of that.
Yes.
My question's now sort of moving a little bit off the topic of the rowers themselves, but obviously pictures of a young, attractive athlete is something that our society easily, you know, recognizes, easily shares. And on the marketing side, is there any stats or information that you can give us? Just, you know, how have you used social media, and how has social media given back?
I think that the single most impactful thing that we have done has been creating viral video promos for our products. So we started making a video of the making of the calendar in 2020. We launched our first one in 2012. And so we are now working on our fourth film. But one of the byproducts of the filming is that it enables us to produce trailers. The first trailer that we produced for the calendar was last year. Now that trailer went viral. It has had 1.5 million views, I don't want to get the figures wrong, but considerably more page loads. So, a lot of people have seen the calendar promo, and the calendar promo got picked up by, for example, NBC, E Channel. So it's done a great job for us. The video gets shared on blogs. It gets shared via social media. We have a very active Twitter account. We have, I think, 20,000 followers on Twitter, something like, not a huge number. I think we have something like 15,000 likes on Facebook, something like that. But social media and blogs are a key part of our marketing. I think one of our basic rules is that we don't pay for any marketing.
Which is fantastic. You have, you know, there's a whole debate right now about organic reach and particularly organic reach on Facebook. But the answer that keeps coming back is that quality content still has fantastic reach. And perhaps this is a case for that.
I would hope that this is definitely a case of that. If you look at our trailers, they are produced to broadcast quality. And I think that's what has enabled somebody like Good Morning America to sort of be able to come along and say, wow, we just want to use a piece of that. Is this okay? And it's like, yes, that's absolutely fine. If it were not of that quality, I'm not sure that it would be so easy to get that kind of pickup.
Absolutely. I think I've seen some of the trailers and they, you know, not only the quality of the photography, but the editing so that we get I think if I'm correct, you're slowing and speeding things up a little bit and really getting a nice cadence to it.
Absolutely. Yes. We put a lot of effort into all of our film work. I mean, all of our creative work around content. Content is king and we are only as good as the content we produce. So, you know, we do put a lot of work into making sure that although this is a student project, it's a student calendar, that does not mean to say that it's amateur.
Well, I think that's a great point. I wanted to ask, your video of the trailer that I saw is on Vimeo, and was there rationale to be there rather than YouTube or some other video service?
The rationale between these, well, two things. First of all, YouTube deleted one of our videos, and I basically cannot put any faith in an organization that uses censorship in that way. Our project is not pornographic, but in some cultures there is a problem with nudity, and I avoid using services where there's any question mark over the legitimacy of my content.
So I had thought that might have been an issue with YouTube, and in a way it's also a shame on them, but that it's a fantastic way to monetize. People have made a lot of money off of YouTube. Have you?
We've considered it again. The other problem I have with YouTube is I don't want a big red box on the beautifully crafted film that I've just made. Vimeo offers me the opportunity to screen my film for as many people as want to see it without this on-screen digital graphic of Vimeo or whatever. Vimeo allows me to make the film part of my brand, not part of theirs.
Well, well said, and absolutely a good endorsement for Vimeo. I wanted to ask you, switching back a little bit to charity, I read that over the years, the auxiliary money, that a lot of the money initially went to this team, if I understand, but over the years, additional charities were selected. Ultimately, now you've created your own Sports Allies campaign. But yeah, as a professional fundraiser, does that changing focus help, or is it neutral, or, you know, how did that come about?
Let's see. So the history of our charitable giving is that once the calendar started to, I mean, when it was making a few hundred pounds for a boat club that is perpetually cash strapped, then the whole purpose of the calendar was to raise funds for the club. Once the calendar started to enjoy some success, I think we all felt that it was important that we shared some of that success. The first year we gave money to Sport Relief, which is a UK charity that basically raises money for good causes through a whole variety of sport-based fundraising. And it centres around a telethon that takes place on the BBC. It's once every 2 years. 1 year it's Sport Relief and the next year it's Comic Relief. And both these telethons fund this massive charity. So we gave money to that. We then felt that we wanted to give money to a smaller charity that would have more resonance for the people who actually were supporting us. And that was how we alighted on the idea of building on something that was already inherent in the calendar itself. You have mainly straight athletes who are knowingly creating a slightly racy product for a gay audience. And it's like, well, how do you guys feel about that? How do you feel about the fact that gay men are looking at you and enjoying these pictures? And they were like, well, we're absolutely fine about it. Why should it be a problem? It's not an issue at all. And I said, well, you know, that's a very powerful statement. And we can amplify that statement by supporting causes which are challenging homophobia. And we did that initially through donating money to a charity headed up by Ben Cohen, who is a former England rugby player. And we then decided that actually the logical conclusion would be to create our own campaign in which the students themselves could be more involved. And that's where we've got to today with the establishment of Sport Allies that is on its way to becoming an independent registered charity. It's supported by EY, formerly Ernst & Young. The calendar project donates funds to Sport Allies. Students give their time to Sport Allies. I give my time to Sport Allies. And we're hoping that, you know, the calendar is never going to, you know, raise enough money to enable Sport Allies to become a massive organization by itself. But what we want to do is to kind of pump, prime and stimulate funding for Sport Allies that we hope will ultimately come from a more diverse range of sources.
Well, that's fantastic. You've certainly proven that you can bring awareness both to the team and the sports and all of that. In fact, that really goes into my next question, which is, has the calendar itself helped bring some awareness to rowing? Or
I think it has definitely brought awareness to the boys who are involved. You know, when they go out to do live events or promotional activity and they go to a gay club and they hear the stories of people and they see the impact of the struggles that people have had to process their sexuality in a culture that does not necessarily encourage and endorse other sexualities. So I think that they get that firsthand experience of it, and they read the feedback that comes from our customers that and the healing actually that the statement that they make, it doesn't just help young people now, it helps people who were maybe at school or university 20 or 30 years ago and had a very different experience of how athletes felt about them. The gratitude that people have felt for this message has been very moving for the boys.
That's moving to hear that. Angus, I really appreciate your time, and I know that your time is very limited as you're getting things together. Is there anything that I haven't asked you or anything that you'd like to say?
I think that, I suppose, because I think what I'd like to say is that this has been a fantastic journey for all of us who have been involved. I think that if anybody out there is seeking to do the same kind of thing, what I would say is look at what the core message is of what you're doing. Always build out from that. Never let the tail wag the dog. Maintain the integrity of what you're doing. And it's quite extraordinary how quickly and powerfully your project can develop.
Well said. Angus, can you tell everybody where to find you, where to find the calendar and all of that?
I'll be delighted to. Warwick, which is Warwick, rowers.org, is where you can find us on the internet. We're about to launch our 2015 crowdfunder campaign. There'll be a viral video out within a matter of days on that. And but that is our home on the internet, where you can come and join us and support us and buy great products and know that you're helping a good cause.
Well, again, thank you for your time. Thanks for the support, the whole mission of fighting homophobia and honestly helping people raise money for a very good cause. It's been fantastic talking with you.
Likewise. Thank you.
Have a great, great evening.
Cheers. You too.
Hello. You've been listening to Talking About Everything with Harry Hawk. You can communicate with me at HHAWK on Twitter. You can visit this particular podcast's website, that's talkingabouteverything.com, or my marketing and communication site, hawksocialmarketing.com. I really encourage your feedback, your input, your insight. Let me know what you like and what you don't like. I'd really love to hear from you. Again, my name is Harry Hawk. I hope everybody has a fantastic week. Bye-bye.